My guest at this time is author and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza. His latest book and film are titled Death of a Nation, Plantation Politics, and the Making of the Democratic Party. We spoke with Dinesh a few weeks ago about Death of a Nation as a project and the message he's conveying through it. Today, we're going to examine some recent headlines through that same prism. And Dinesh, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, always a pleasure. Good to be on the show.
Let's start with the raucous Antifa protests that took place in Washington and Charlottesville this past weekend with the white nationalists ultimately not showing up. These protesters from Antifa vented their rage against police and the media, and the media still went pretty light on the coverage of the demonstrations. These people claim to be anti-fascist, but how is fascism properly defined, and how do you think these people define it?
Well, certainly fascism is properly defined as the ideology of the centralized state. When you have the state kind of organizing and running even the private economy, when you have the state running the lives of citizens, that's fascism. That's how Mussolini understood it. That's how Hitler understood it. Now, these Antifa guys are posing as anti-fascists because, of course, they dress like fascists. They act like fascists. They have the same intolerance of fascism. And let's notice that their target isn't fascists. When you're targeting cops and Republicans and patriots and Christians, you're actually targeting not fascists, but anti-fascists. So we have an amazing situation in which the fascists, Antifa, are pretending to be anti-fascist and targeting anti-fascists whom they claim are fascists.
So why do you think they got such light coverage? I mean, if a crowd chants CNN sucks at a rally, it gets several hours of coverage. These people are shoving cameras and reporters away, and it gets a mention on NBC when it's their crew that got assaulted, but not much more than that.
Well, the reason for it is because Antifa is, you could almost call it the domestic terrorist arm of the Democratic Party. I mean, this is the militant wing of the left. Now, the left has had a militant wing even in the past. The Democratic Party, 100 years ago had a militant wing. It was called the Ku Klux Klan. So these are the sort of terrorists that operate on that side. But most of the media is on that side. And that's why they're very reluctant to acknowledge the sins of their own side. I reveal in the movie, Death of a Nation, that some of the leading white nationalists, the organizer of Charlottesville, Jason Kessler, the poster boy of white supremacy, Richard Spencer, these guys actually have backgrounds in the left. They're not right-wingers. And yet the media doesn't report this. Why? Because they're trying to pin the fascist and racist tail on the Republican elephant.
Let's talk about this in a couple different ways, a little deeper. First of all, you mentioned a moment ago that fascism is based on the idea of a powerful centralized government. That clearly doesn't sound like something on the right. So why are fascists by the mainstream media generally described as being on the political right?
This is what I call the big lie. And what I mean by this is that in the early 50s, the progressives were coming to power in academia and the media and Hollywood. Now, they knew, because they had lived through it, that there were deep connections between the Democratic left in this country and Mussolini's fascism and Hitler's National Socialism. This, by the way, is all in the movie. I mean, you literally see FDR praising Mussolini and Mussolini saying nice things about FDR and the Nazi official newspaper called the Volkischer Beobachter praising the New Deal. All of this was going on in the 30s. Now, after World War II, the progressives went, we got to hush this all up. Why? Because Nazism and fascism are totally discredited now. American troops have liberated the concentration camps. So we can't have in the textbooks any association between us and the Nazis. And so all of this was left out. So I bring it out in the movie, and the effect is electric because people realize I'm watching real history, and yet it's real history that's never been taught. It's not on the History Channel. It's not in Wikipedia. And yet there it is, irrefutable in the historical record.
The other thing you mentioned about the Ku Klux Klan being the original militant wing of the Democratic Party, if that's the case, why do the Democrats believe they need a militant wing?
Well, the Democrats these days have become very restless, and they don't trust the democratic system, partly because they feel the democratic system failed them. It produced an electoral majority for a guy that they see as being so extremist that they literally say, and some of them believe it, the dumber ones, that Trump is Hitler circa 1933. So would you trust a democratic system that actually put Hitler in power? No. So their view is that since Trump is like Hitler in circa 1933, we are fully justified in using, as they say, any means necessary to eject him, including illegal means, including violence, including, an attempted coup. If we can get him on a sex scandal, it doesn't really matter what. Whatever tools are at hand, we should use to try to overturn the result of this Democratic election.
Why do you think some of these white nationalists came out of the woodwork so much? They claim that it's because of the rise of President Trump. Whether Trump was catering to them or not, what do you think they saw in him that at least briefly made them crawl out of their hole? It sounds like now, based on the turnout this last weekend, that they might be going back in. But what motivated them?
Well, I think that if you watch the Spencer interview in the movie, something very interesting emerges. And you have a guy, see, white nationalism at one point in this country's history used to be a really powerful force. The Ku Klux Klan had a march in 1925 in Washington, D.C., and 50,000 hooded Klansmen were walking down the mall, you know, in their outfits, chanting racist slogans. Now, white nationalism today is a spent force. The Klan is lucky to get 50 guys at a demonstration, and they're going to be outnumbered by counter protesters who are going to be like 500 guys. So these white nationalists are losers. And really, they don't fit today easily into the party. But what they've realized is that if they play along with the left-wing narrative, that they are right-wingers. That's why they call this Unite the Right. I mean, think of the stupidity of that title. Who are they uniting? 20 guys walking down in Washington, D.C. are uniting the right? If they had just called their rally Trump, there would be thousands of people there. But they call it Unite the Right because they want to feed the left-wing narrative that they are somehow representative of Trump. And this gives them an inflated notoriety. And in exchange, what they're giving the left is they're confirming and corroborating the left's narrative.
Is there anything that the president or others on the right should be doing to further discredit them? Or would that just not be accepted by the press and so forth?
Well, frankly, I think Trump handled this one beautifully. He just said in advance, listen, I don't approve of any types of racism, or whatever direction they're coming from. All forms of racism are bad. And then he essentially ignored it. And by the way, that I would call that the Lincoln strategy. There was a group in Lincoln's time called the Know-Nothings. They were actually on the right side of the slavery debate, but they were also very bigoted against immigrants. And they wanted to shut the doors of America. They didn't want the benefits of the Homestead Act to go to immigrants and so on. So Lincoln knew about this, but his strategy was essentially to ignore them. Even though a lot of the Know-Nothings ended up voting for Lincoln because of his anti-slavery positions, essentially Lincoln said, I will adopt the part of their agenda that I agree with, namely anti-slavery, and I will ignore the part of the agenda that I don't agree with, namely bigotry.
We're talking with Dinesh D'Souza. The book and the film are entitled Death of a Nation, Plantation Politics, and the Making of the Democratic Party. And Dinesh, you mentioned in our previous conversation that you were not on the Trump bandwagon during the 2016 primary season, but then supported him once it was down to Trump or Hillary Clinton. And we have a lot of people on the left saying that the reason they react to President Trump the way they do is because it's Trump and the way he approaches things and the way he engages with people. But of course, if you go back to the way the left reacted to Reagan or treated George W. Bush like Hitler, it's pretty intense as well. So would we be seeing the same thing from the left if any Republican had won in 2016, or is it special now because it's Trump?
No, I actually think some of it is special to Trump. And I think it's not because Trump is – I think it's because Trump hits back. So, you know, look at this business with Omarosa. You know, she makes all these preposterous allegations. Trump used the N-word and so on, just lying about the president. Now, an ordinary Republican in this situation would go in their closet and shut the door and turn off the light and just hope that Omarosa goes away. Trump won't do it. He will pummel her back, and he doesn't hesitate to, you know, call her low life and so on. And so, in a sense, you can say this is an emotional weakness in Trump. He has to respond this way. He's made that way. But I think for a Republican, it is a good way to respond because Trump realizes that he's in a big fight. The left does not hold back. And the traditional Republican strategy of going under your desk or running for the exit doesn't really work in this situation.
Dinesh, you couch this project, Death of a Nation, as we mentioned last time, as the greatest rejection of an election result by a political party since 1860. That's the connection back to the 1860 election of Abraham Lincoln. And right now we're heading, of course, towards the midterm elections. We've got about a little less than 3 months to go now. And there are some longtime Republican political operatives out there and some others who are arguing publicly that the best thing for conservatives to do is to vote out all Republicans and essentially save the party by burning it down. It sounds like that's about a 180 from what you're saying in this project. What's your reaction to them?
Yeah, I mean, these people literally need to have their heads examined. It's absolute lunacy. By the way, you know, in Lincoln's time, when things got tough, the rhinos of his own day, Republicans in name only, they come running to Lincoln and they go, "Hey, Lincoln, we've got to give up the platform of the Republican Party. We campaigned on stopping the spread of slavery, but now with all this crisis, we've got to abandon that. We've got to extend the Missouri Compromise line, the slavery line, all the way to California and have slavery stay permanently legal forever south of that line." Fortunately for us and for the country, Lincoln said no. Lincoln held to his principles. He said, "We campaigned on this. Once the American people ratified it through an electoral majority," he goes, "my job is merely now to carry it out, and I'm going to." So we need this kind of firmness from Trump. And as for these so-called Republican strategists and so on, they're talking absolute nonsense and should be completely ignored.
Lastly, Dinesh, you defined plantation politics before as giving minorities and other identity groups just enough to get by and thereby making them dependent upon government as long as possible. What do you think we can expect from a Democratic majority in one or both chambers of Congress if there in fact is some sort of blue wave this year?
Well, certainly in the short term, they want to tie up Trump. They initially thought Trump was a fool. He's a buffoon. We can easily handle him. Now they realize that they can't. And so all they can do is try to tie him up. And they will try to do that through 2020. Now, obviously, if the Democrats get a hold of all the branches of government, what we would essentially see is the attempt to reduce all of America to a plantation. And what I mean by that is this. The Democrats currently have the black ghettos. They have the Latino barrios. They have the Native American reservation. So they've got a lot of people in this position of enforced dependency, where essentially their lives are miserable, but they deliver 90% of their vote nevertheless to the Democratic Party. The Democrats would love to expand that principle. They'd love to have Asian American plantations. They'd love to have white plantations. They'd love to have everybody in this position of ethnically enforced dependency. It's actually a horrible system, and it would make this a horrible country, which is actually why we have to work really hard to prevent that nightmare from becoming a reality.
Dinesh, great to have you with us again. Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck with the project.
Thank you very much.
Dinesh D'Souza, the book and the film are Death of a Nation, Plantation Politics, and the Making of the Democratic Party. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.